Hey, good morning, everyone. We are up to day 26. What is the purpose of Rosh Hashanah? Now, I ask this question because almost every single year after Rosh Hashanah services day one, somebody will come up to me and I'll say, Rabbi, I don't get it. I thought today is the day of judgment, so we're supposed to be asking or begging for forgiveness for our sins. I don't see any references in the prayers about anything about forgiveness. And it's a good question, because if you look at the Machzor, which is the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur prayer book, the idea of forgiveness is really absent from the liturgy on Rosh Hashanah. There are a couple of mentions of the Day of Judgment, a couple of beautiful piyutim, poems written by great sages, but the liturgy really and the prayers really revolve around basic Jewish concepts like God, and God is our King, and God is our Sovereign of the universe. The whole pleading and begging for forgiveness for our sins, you see in the Slichot, in the special penitential prayers we're saying earlier in the morning these days, or you'll see it again and again on Yom Kippur, but no mention of it on Rosh Hashanah. Why? And the answer I shared in the chapter is a very simple one, because we have to follow some kind of logical progression here. Before you can ask God for forgiveness, you first have to ask yourself a few basic questions. Who is God? And who are you? Who are we? And who are we in relation to God? I mean, it doesn't make much sense to plead for forgiveness to a being that we haven't sort of set up what is the nature of the relationship here. And that's why, as I mentioned in the chapter, the three central themes of the Rosh Hashanah prayers, which are in the Musaf silent devotion, the Shemona Esrei, the silent devotion for the Musaf service, that's the second, you know, first you have Shacharis, then you have the Musaf in the mornings. What are the three central themes that are in both the individual silent devotion and then repeated in the Chazarat HaShatz, which is the repetition by the Chazan? So you have what's called Malchiyot, which means kingship, Zichronot, which means remembrances, and Shofrot, trumpet blasts. And those three themes, kingship, remembrances, and trumpet blasts, Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofrot, basically help us focus on the nature of our relationship with Hashem, who God is to us. So what's Malchiyot? Let's go through each quickly. That's kingship. I mean, that's number one. That's the first theme, because it sets up who we are in relation to Hashem. We acknowledge God as King, and we are His loyal subjects. I mean, why would you ask for forgiveness before someone if you didn't feel like you owe anything to it? You know, we owe something to God because we believe He created us, and we are supposed to serve Him. Now, what does it mean to serve Him? God doesn't need, you know, nice things for us to do for Him. That's where the analogy with a human king, I guess, breaks down. But to have a relationship with Hashem by performing the mitzvot. We start off with Malchiyot, God's the King and we are the subjects. The next theme, the middle one, Zichrona, which means remembrances, refers to our belief that God remembers everything. And that's actually a beautiful idea, because it shows, I mean, it could freak you out a little, oh my God, God remembers everything. I don't want God to remember everything. But it shows how much God cares about us, right? When a parent remembers what the child did, even if it's not so great, it demonstrates powerfully that the parent cares. If the parent ignores the kid or just forgets about the kid and has no recollection of what the kid has done positively or negatively, it shows there's really no relationship there. Okay, we have a strong relationship with Hashem and therefore He remembers. That's two. Three, the final theme is Shofrot, which technically means shofar blasts. But the reason that section is called Shofrot is because it's recalling the shofar specifically when it was sounded at the giving of the Torah at Sinai. And this therefore represents the idea that God is not only a king, but He's also a provider of a guidebook to life. God doesn't just evaluate us based on what we're doing, coming up with it as we go along, shooting from the hip, but a king who cares about His subjects and wants His people to live in a certain way, to be the best selves that they can be. And that's what the Torah is about. And that's what Shofrot, that section teaches, that God wants us to be intimately involved with God in our lives. And that's what the mitzvot do as well. A mitzvah from the word tzav, which means neck. It connects us to Hashem. Are we staying connected to God? And are we following this guidebook so we can go through life in the best possible way and actually achieve the very purpose for our creation? So these are the three areas. And once we get those three ideas down, that God is our King, we are His subjects, that God remembers everything, demonstrating He cares, and He gave us this guidebook. How are you doing in terms of following this guidebook to stay connected to our source and to live our best lives? Then, once we get those ideals in our mind, we can move on to saying, God, I'm sorry. I didn't live up to what I could have been. I didn't live up to my potential. I did this and I shouldn't have done that. Or I didn't do this and I'm going to try better in the coming year. And if we can take notice of that and we can really be cognizant of that, not just when we're saying those prayers in Musaf on Rosh Hashanah, but all throughout the week of now, before Rosh Hashanah and during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, we can get those ideas in our mind and we can take notice of all this, it'll be much easier to live up to those ideals. We will continue to make mistakes and even sin, probably. But if we keep these principles, I said in the book, in the front, in the forefront of our minds, we'll sin less because we are more focused on the purpose of our very existence. Have a wonderful day.